Welcome to The Download, WGN, WGNradio.com. Well, this week, of course, is the Pitchfork Music Festival. Great festival, a lot of great bands that have come through, played that festival over the years. I'm trying to think in my head about all the times I've been to that festival and the stuff that I've seen. I want to go on Sunday because that's Chaka Khan, and I don't want to miss Chaka Khan.
Gotta go.
Nobody wants to miss Chaka Khan, but it's fun. One story I have being there, I went to see Chance when he was going through with Donnie Trumpet, and we went, and I went with my wife. And it was such a young person's show. Everyone was 16, 17, 18, right? They had no one had a shirt on. You know, here I come with my wife. I'm 41 with my, you know, my polo and my shorts. And right in front of us, everyone's trying to sneak through to get closer. Walked by a friend of ours' daughter, teenage daughter, is like 16. And my wife was like, "Oh, Maddie!" And I'm like, Maddie's not going to want to see her mom's friend right now.
She's busy.
She's busy. So that's what I think of when I think of, maybe I've aged out, but it's a great festival. You should check it out in Union Park. Mostly for my guest today, he's playing Pitchfork this year. He's representing the Chicago DIY scene. Hip-hop multi-instrumentalist Namdi Obanaya put out his album Drool in 2017 and put out a single this year called Love to See, which is a hint that there's more music to come. Namdi, known to the music community both as an emerging hip-hop artist and a go-to drummer. He played with several bands, and when I first met him, he was playing drums with Rat Boys, Studio 435. Namdi Obanaya is playing Pitchfork on Sunday, really the day to go.
Yep.
And he's in studio with me now. Namdi, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what does it mean for you to be a Chicago kid who came up and has gone through the DIY scene to have a chance to play the Pitchfork Music Festival?
It's incredible. I can't really explain how it feels. It's all been kind of gradual because I've been playing music for a long time, and I try to take note of every accomplishment that I go through. And this was something that I wrote down a long time ago.
Really?
Like a list of things I want to accomplish, and it was like one of the first things on the list, and it's crazy to get to cross that off the list.
How do you go about it? I mean, to give a little bit peek behind the curtain. Do you have to be ambitious about playing Pitchfork, or do they just come to you and say, here's the golden ticket?
I was just asked. I think it just came from years of touring, and they noticed, and they asked, and I said yes. I didn't ask any questions. I wasn't like, how did you find out? I was just like, yes.
Yes, I'm in.
I'll be there.
What box do I check, right? For you, to play a show like this, to play at a stage like this in a festival, an outside venue, do you have to change the way you approach the set, the performance?
I don't have to, but I definitely am. This performance is a little bit different than I've usually been doing. I've been performing as a four-piece for most of the past tours, but this show is going to be a nine-piece group.
Wow. So do you have to, I mean, is it just a lot of work to get everybody on the same page and, get all the arrangements together and everything?
A lot of emails, a lot of texting, and trying to get more than four people in a room together is impossible. Like, everyone has jobs, everyone has family and things to do, so.
Isn't that the secret to any great art, DIY or otherwise? It's just, if you can get more than four people in a room, you're ahead of everybody else.
Something. You can convince anyone to, like, leave their homes to do anything.
The Reader just put out a great little piece about how that Pitchfork is celebrating the DIY music scene, but also this concept of where we are as a DIY music scene. For you, you've been a big part of it, and your contribution to the article is really about, I want to get into this idea that not every musician, not every artist gets an opportunity to get on stage at the back of a bar or be invited to a theater or what it might be. It's not just preference. It's difficult to do.
It's difficult, and you, no matter where you play, there's going to be someone usually screening like what it is. Like, someone's going to listen to it, and if they don't like it, they could just say no. Like, you never know what people are thinking after you send an email. If you're like, I would love to play your venue, you never know if they actually listen to it unless they say so. And sometimes people respond just like flat out, like, no, sorry. So yeah, it all depends on who you're hitting up and the place you're hitting up. Luckily, Chicago, I think, has a lot of promoters and people that will respond to younger acts. Other than, like, when I tour in other cities, there's some places that don't reply at all.
Really?
To emails.
They just don't. Yeah, that's,
yeah, I don't know if it's just because they're busy. Like, because, right, you never know.
Right.
You assume the worst when you're the ones.
right.
Like, they hate everything I put out.
I love this and talk about so many bands about the DIY scene and where you play, because I've had so many different musicians come in and we'll start getting on the DIY underground music scene, meaning people playing in houses or playing at apartments or finding different venues, whether it be a closed shop or I remember going to an upstairs in a carpet store when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. This idea that there are several different venues today for aspiring musicians to get involved with.
That's always going on. Like, I've kind of fallen out of the loop with that, but there's always a handful of houses and just like people putting on performances in their living room. People that just want to see music and don't want to go through the or jump through the hoops of getting a venue, or just even if they want to jump through the hoops, even if they want to get a venue show, it's just a different vibe. Like having a show in a basement as opposed to having it in a venue, it's like way more intimate and you can do a lot more. You can do a lot of different things.
So Chicago, when, you know, as somebody who I guess I categorize you as an outsider artist, mm-hmm. in the way that you have, as a multi-instrumentalist, you have been on the fringe. You haven't necessarily been an artist who has been ambitious to be commercially successful. Right, is that the best way to put that?
I would love to be commercially successful. Yeah, it's just I want it to happen because people like what I want to put out. I love pop music, so I'm not saying I'd never like write pop music,
right.
But usually that's not where my mind goes when I'm...
When I say outsider artist to you and you shake your head, what does it mean to you?
Outsider artist? That just feels like someone who's not like breaking through the mainstream, which I definitely think is possible for stranger artists. I think we're seeing it more and more, and like music's getting stranger, especially in hip hop. Like 5 or 6 years ago, all the rappers that are out now doing all these crazy ad libs and stuff would not have been popular then. So music evolves and we can just kind of define what is cool. So like, I'm just trying to be in my own lane and do what I do, and hopefully people latch onto it.
Well, you have such an interesting sound, a sound that is, and I want to play some of it. Maybe we can play some from Drool. Why don't we do that now? We'll play some from Drool, and then so the listener who's listening to this gets an idea of what we're talking about. Pete?
Right on.
Oh, I poked the no-no and they scolded with Geppetto. Rigor mortis after credits, even if they don't want electro. Puder up the belly, or the Kelly, make a metal low. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Now she said, Martin Pop is Marquis, this goofy rapper, Wooter. Nelly, she forced one on me, I call him Lips and Scoopers. I'm reluctant, she wants something, I know I can give her love. Slubber, Donnie, got the Lover, young and sucking up the air. We catch the fairy, met that kitty, lead me to her. Back when we bet and get naked in Kama Sutra. Shuffle past, duffle bags, huffing gas, muffin top. I know you spot that come and go, we're pumping at a curb. Then she texts me thirsty next day, asking about our future. I know Cleo, Idos, me on no trap, me no looper. That's all just my flex, no stress. Now bullet call me Superman. SID test, don't need this, try me, best not to confuse her. Then she go local, blogging and posting a label and me and
the multi-instrumentalist part of your sound plays out. When you listen to that music, you hear so many different things happening. It's not a rote formula. It's not music that is trying to be something else. Where does that come from for you? I mean, your background obviously plays a big role in the kind of music you listened to when you were a kid or were at least influenced by.
Yeah, when I first start writing a song, I don't usually... There's like no limitations. There's nothing's off limits, I would say. So if it starts veering in one direction and I end up not liking it, I'll reel it back in and try something else. But everything's all open to try. And I think that's how I am with instruments. Like, I don't know how to play all of the instruments very well, but I'll try to do anything that's around me. I'll try to play it to get the sounds that I want to get. So I think just having an open mind and letting the music kind of flow out of you and not trying to like be a cookie cutter and like follow a formula really helps open up creativity.
Are you thinking in your head, I know what sound I want. I wonder if this vibraphone will create that sound. Is that how you're thinking about it? Like, you know tonally what you want, and you try to match it up with the instrument? Or are you more experimental in the way that you're like, let me just try this instrument?
I think it's more experimental, because sometimes you'll try something and you will think it won't work, but when you try it, it sounds better than what you had in your head. So I think it's important to just try different things and not necessarily like stick to what you think is going to be correct, because then you get stuck in a rut.
You've had success as a drummer. You met you when you were drumming for Rat Boys, and you talk about that, how drumming helps you as being a drummer, helps you with your overall sound with hip hop, but also to kind of contrast between being the front man and being the rhythm section.
Drumming was my first instrument. Well, I started piano, but then I kind of gave it up very fast. So drumming was the first instrument I actually spent time on and was obsessed with, watching every possible YouTube video I could watch to try to learn. So I think that if anyone asks me what I do, like what I play, I always say drums. I never say I'm a rapper or a singer, right? Because drums is who I am. So everything I write is going to involve interesting rhythms, or like I'm going to think about rhythm in a way maybe someone that doesn't play drums thinks about it. I had a conversation with a couple friends. I've been asking people a question. I've been asking them if they would rather have a very interesting rhythm play over and over in their head, or have a very simple melody, like to see if people prefer interesting rhythms to simple melody. And even though I'm a drummer, I think I would prefer a very nice, simple melody that's not...
You're looking for the hook.
Yeah, I feel like, right, I prefer hooks to rhythms, which is something most percussionists or drummers and just musicians usually don't prefer.
It's so interesting. I have an 11-year-old son, and we're paying more and more attention to the way that pop songs on the radio, as he gets into music, are constructed.
Yeah.
Obviously today you're hearing more of a DJ-centric production. I think of the Diplos and the people who show up on the tracks. But their use of percussion is almost background vocals, in the way that you pay more and more attention to, the latest pop star that's out there, and their production is almost as big of a star as the actual the artist.
Yeah.
Do you think that rhythm and percussion has evolved to the listener, meaning that we want more interesting rhythm, we want to see where that's at, or do you still think it plays a background role and we're just more interested in what's in the front?
I think people are open to the idea of more interesting rhythms. I listened to a Frank Zappa interview where he was talking about different time signatures. And the way he explained it was, people don't talk in 4-4. People don't talk like with a backbeat. People talk in like different cadences and like different inflections. And everyone's comfortable with like speech patterns. And I think that's a very interesting way to look at music, whereas if you think about it just as talking and like having a conversation, relaying a message, then I don't think the beat being like very simple is as important.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I do think it's easier to bob your head. Like if this beat is just very easy, like the bass and the snare kick in, you can do whatever you want with the hi-hats, no one cares, but as long as the bass and the snare are like...
Right there.
1, 2, 3, 4, people are into it.
It is, I think, more and more. I think my palate is changing as a consumer. I feel like I want more craftsmanship, maybe, or artistic vision when it comes to this music. So it's not just a 4-4 and you're following a format, and it's 5 o'clock, let's close up. Like, but this idea that people are trying to push the boundaries. That seems to be where I love to listen to music, whether it be hip hop or rock or country, whatever it might be, but that push the boundary. How much does your ethos and your philosophy match that? The idea that each time you write a new song, it's about pushing forward.
Oh, definitely. I want everything I do to be better than the previous thing I've done. But also, pushing the boundary doesn't necessarily mean making music more difficult. I feel like you can do that with simple things as well. Like, you can still retain simplicity and have innovative ideas, I think.
How is Chicago for that? I mean, you hear this in theater, and I hear it in theater's a great example. So we've had Chris Messina, who's on HBO, he's in Sharp Objects, and he was talking about working with Chicago actors. And he said to me, I always was envious of Chicago actors because they're doing it for the work. He grew up in New York. He's like, I'm doing it for the ambition. Yeah. I'm doing it in my head because if I do this right, I'll be famous or I'll make money. But he always was envious at the ethos that came from Chicago, saying they're doing it for the work in the moment. Mm-hmm. Is that similar in Chicago music, do you think? This idea that someone from Chicago is more about the moment and the creativity as opposed to what might be five, six, what this might get me?
I do think so. I think that's why there's a lot of collaboration in hip hop in Chicago too, because people are trying to people are trying to like retain this moment. People are trying to like take a photograph of what's happening right now in Chicago so people can know that there are a bunch of amazing artists together in one place that are willing to work together to make just different art. I think that's very true. But also, I mean, people still want to secure the bag.
Yeah, right. That's a given.
Yeah, it's a given. But yeah, the collaborations in Chicago and the amount of people I know that spend their time working with other artists for like pretty much nothing just because they want to make something really cool. It's amazing to see that.
Well, you're going to be at Pitchfork this Sunday, and I guess I ask you, you know, you get the opportunity to perform on Sunday, which is the Chicago day. There's some great people. What are you looking forward to when you get done with your show and you get the chance to go see whatever you want to see? What are you going to go see?
I am very pumped to see Raven Lane and Smino and Alex G. Chaka Khan, of
course.
Those
are all Sunday, right?
Lauryn Hill, of course. I'm forgetting people. Pretty much everyone on Sunday, I'm very pumped to see.
Well, people should be pumped to see you. Namdi, thanks so much for coming in and talking music. And good luck on Sunday. And I can't wait to talk again.
Thank you.
Say I'll tell your friends and play me not embarrassed by you. He just trying to get there. Let's not pretend when she say she being careful about it. She ain't trying to get there. Don't tell your friends, and he claim he not embarrassed, crying, he just trying to get there. Let's not pretend when she say she be careful, but she ain't trying to get there.
Yep, toe, nah, no.
I ain't trying to hide it.
You can't cross me out.
I am not an item.
Taxi, not your ride or die.
I am just your ride tonight.
These are poison, dime a dozen.
I will not stand by the door.
Doesn't want the picture of you, make you really go, hmm.
Yep.
Doesn't want to pick you up and keeping you a secret, mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
Never want to go out. Muzzle all in your mouth.
I know,
I know, I know. I know something's up.
I know, I know.
You're lying.